Tell me, Natasha. Natasha Bedingfield Day. I just declared it. Roth Radio. She was here earlier. Natasha Bedingfield. Get that record, man. She's making the round. She's great. What a voice, huh? Amazing stuff. Yours truly, David Lee Roth. Got my sister Lisa here. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing very well.
Animal, what's cooking?
Oh, man, I'm trying to make it through the day, baby. You know how we do it.
Are you a Bobby Brown fan? You a Whitney fan?
Yeah, I'm a pretty good Bobby Brown fan and Whitney fan.
You like the
reality show.
Is that one of your favorites?
No, yes. I watched it one time, but yeah, I'm not a big reality guy. I'm more like a Jerry Springer guy, you know.
That's a reality series of a sort.
Oh yeah.
You just get one paragraph and then you have to determine the rest of the story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What is it you like about Bobby and Whitney?
I think because it's the least manipulated, the least scripted of the reality shows, perhaps.
How do you mean least scripted?
Oh, it's just a train wreck, and you can't script that.
You think they just leave it in, or is he creating? You don't think he's creating any theater for the camera, right?
Oh, he probably is creating it, but I don't think that the editors and all manipulate it as much as you would even like a Survivor or some of the other reality shows.
Okay, so what you're getting is really exists between those four walls, you think, huh?
Pretty much.
I think so. No, you know what? He's not stupid. He's playing for the camera, I'm sure. But, you know, these reality shows, there's all the controversy about, you know, whether they actually write some of the scenes and reshoot certain things to fill in. And
how real can it be when the contestant is sitting in a hot tub with another potential winner contestant, you know, for the husband or, you know, the marriage that's supposed to take place, and the lights are on and the camera guys are there and the boom guy is holding the boom microphone and she suddenly feels chemistry. Anyway, R&B singer Bobby Brown is shooting down rumors that he and wife Whitney Houston are breaking up. You a Whitney Houston fan, Lise?
Yeah, you know what? I loved her in the 80s. I thought she had an amazing voice. And I kind of lost interest when all the schmagaggy started with her.
Why did you lose interest? I thought it became even more interesting.
No, I was interested in her singing.
That's it? Just the voice?
Yeah.
Does she still have her voice? Is her voice still intact? Is she making music and records now? Animal, do you even know?
Well, I heard her voice is what it wasn't the same anymore. So,
well, nobody's voice is the same as it was.
Yours is, Dave. I like your voice, man. You still get it going, man.
But in terms of people change, you know, as you grow up, your voice is going to change. My question is, does she still have a first-rate voice, even if it's changed a little bit?
Well, I haven't heard nothing she done lately, but it's possible that it's, you know, it's still messed up.
Okay, hold on. Brown tells People magazine the couple are not getting a divorce. The 36-year-old adds that while he doesn't remember saying anything of the sort, if he did, it was just a joke. And he also says that his wife of 14 years are in it for the duration, which means life. That's how he, in quotation marks, if he said it that way, he's talking about prison sentence. The couple has had their share of rocky times during the marriage, but they're doing and doing and doing. What's interesting here is that they have a 12-year-old daughter. Is that daughter on the TV show?
Yes. Yes, she is.
And what kind of shape is she in? What's her grounding there?
You know what? She's a little overweight, and I think that that's a physical manifestation of something. What do you say?
Well, the sins of dad will be visited upon the paint job of the children. I think that's what you just described. Whether Junior gets acne or gains weight or starts stealing cars before he has a driver's license or.
Right. It's not a criticism, but... yeah, it's a telltale sign.
Yeah, Junior's trying to, Junior is, what do you call it, self-medicating.
Comfort, I think so.
Comfort food.
That's. I, I think we all do it.
Look at Jack and Kelly Osbourne, for instance.
Same issue? What do you think? Kelly Osbourne, same issue?
That might be a little genetic.
So you think that Kelly is a little more grounded than Whitney?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, what are you saying?
I'm saying we wear our problems.
I think so.
And Mom and Dad need to pay attention because all of America sees it.
Do you think Mom and Dad are seeing what their daughter is up to, or are they oblivious to this?
I have no idea. I have no idea, but it's pretty obvious.
And do you think that kid is going to grow up straight and narrow? Because sometimes they do. Sometimes when both parents are a little bit bent like that, then the kid who comes up in the middle is pretty strong stuff, right?
Yeah, I think even Osbourne has a daughter like that. However, I sense that that is not the case with this child.
That this child is going to have some difficulties.
Might have some issues.
Wow. I think so, too. Moving right along. The Duke has staying power. For the second year in a row, Tom Hanks has been named America's favorite movie star. What does that say about us? An impressive accomplishment, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to read the list here. Let's go through these. And you tell me if you think the actors today are as good as the actors of yesteryear. Okay? Let's compare these to, I don't know, John Wayne, Humphrey Bogart, Marilyn Monroe, or let's even go to the serious actors and actresses in the past here, okay? Tom Hanks. You a Tom Hanks fan, Animal?
Yeah, I'm a pretty good
Tom Hanks fan. You know, I really didn't like his movies because, you know, I didn't think he was pretty tough, but then when I saw Forrest Gump, you know, I kind of dug him a little bit.
Okay, you dug the story or you dug the acting?
Both.
You a Tom Hanks fan, Lise?
You know what? I'm the opposite. I'm not a Tom Hanks fan, but I like some of his movies.
So you think the writing props him up?
I do. I think he's a good actor.
Okay, you think he's a genius?
No. Okay. I think he's a good actor. He's an incredibly sensitive human being. You can see that.
Who would you say is a genius today in acting?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Al Pacino.
Yeah, Al Pacino.
Okay, but he's not on the list here. Let's go down the list. Number two, favorite movie stars all the way of the Harris Interactive Pulse is number two is Johnny Depp. Is he a genius?
Mm. Oh. Nah, man.
Not in my book.
On a scale of, mine either. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would he rate number 10 being?
For me, I would say about a 4 and maybe a 6.5 for costuming and makeup.
The paint job, huh? Yeah.
But he looks good.
Well, yeah, he looks good.
Yes.
How much of that? How much of that counts as being a good actor?
A great deal.
50%.
More. I'd say more. In this society, it's all about how you look.
75%. Even more than that.
I'd say 75. That resonates.
Are you telling me that Robert De Niro, if he was really, really ugly, wouldn't get as much work, but if he was just as good an actor?
Robert De Niro's very talented.
Okay. What about Pacino? There's an appearance issue there. You know, obviously he's a good-looking guy, whatever. That's always carried him. I'm saying, what if he was ugly, 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 but with the same kind of acting talent?
Well, I think because of the way he looks, he's given certain roles, which tend to be meatier, more dramatic, whatever. And maybe Johnny Depp is a victim of his looks.
So you think Johnny Depp, given the right resource, could actually become of genius quality, right?
I might be too late for that now because his reputation is kind of set.
Set as what? How do you define that?
As the good-looking guy with the costumes and the makeup and a little eccentric and nonconformist, left the country, lives in Europe. You know, he's got like the whole aura around him, the whole story, whereas I might be inclined to judge Pacino and De Niro for the actual acting.
What about Ben Stiller? Because I maintain that though he's really good in comedy, that he's extraordinary when he plays tough. When he plays serious drama, I've seen him in one role. Usually he's doing, you know, freestyle comedy. But I saw him in a role where he plays an undercover detective, you know, black leather jacket and a real sour mood. And he cons a basketball player into throwing a basketball game. And then, you know, turns code on him. The kid doesn't know that he's an undercover cop. I think the name of the movie was Black and White or whatever. Brooke Shields was in it. Mike Tyson, Robert Downey Jr. was in it as well.
Like him.
Yeah. And he played serious, sour character, and he was frightening. underneath most comics, underneath the humor,
oh, yeah,
is a fine little line of rage. We talked about that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, somebody is going to steer Stiller, or he's going to steer himself, and I think he might have a shot at the Jack Nicholson Award. You follow? That's somebody who can do both drama and comedy equitably, win the star on both accounts. Agreed?
I agree, and not only that, he is a director, a producer, a writer. I don't think he gets sort of the recognition that he deserves. I don't think people know how much he's done.
Do you think people want to hear that he wears all of those hats, or do people like it better when you just isolate focus, when you take one thing and do the hell out of it?
Oh, I don't think that's necessary, but I think more people are interested in celebrity, and writing and producing and directing is less celebrity driven, so they're more focused on the actor.
Wow, writing and producing and that stuff sounds like homework, huh? Who wants to daydream about that? I bet you Stiller goes far.
Not as glamorous as
Once he starts heading north in terms of dramatic roles, I bet you there's no stopping him.
That would be interesting.
Remember, you heard it here on Roth Radio. What about Harrison Ford? Get the Indiana Jones out of your skull. Is he genius? Is he a real deal?
I think he's a pretty good actor. I liked all the Indiana Jones movies. They was pretty good because, you know, my action-type movie guy and stuff, and I think it was well.
How much of that was him and how much of that was Spielberg? How much of that is...
Probably 85% was Spielberg, maybe, you know, because I don't think that he, you know, he had the mind to, like, write those kind of movies because it don't seem like him. He just read it, liked it, and done it. That's what I think.
What kind of dramatic roles is Harrison Ford even known for? We know him for the adventures and so forth, but do you know anything that he's been in?
The Fugitive.
Yeah. Clear and Present Danger he was in.
You're saying all these, I like the movies. He doesn't resonate for me as Stellar.
That we have to go groping around in our brain pan to place, it's like in People magazine, they have names of actors and actresses that have to have the parentheses after the name or you would never know the show. You know, it says Joe from... parentheses Friends. And you would never know. With Harrison, you got to dig around. You got to kind of figure, okay, remember, in a circle of people you can come up with the names, but otherwise the only thing that sticks in my brain is Indiana.
And you know, this is not a criticism of the human being we're talking about. Lord only knows, if they put a camera on me and I had to emote, it's not as easy as it sounds. But I think a lot of it is the writing and the filming and the director. And
so it's a committee project, you're thinking?
Definitely.
Talking to my sister, Lisa Roth. David Lee Roth here at Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I got to wonder out loud if the actors today and actresses today are as good or anywhere near as good as what came out of, say, the 60s.
Well, you're taking acting lessons. Tell me about acting. What's your experience?
To be...
Well, not to be. Did you write that?
I did. Well, I'm the one who sampled it and sold a million records of it.
Tell me, what's your experience?
The experience is the kind of acting that I took lessons in from the great Harold Guskin is very, very different than what most acting is considered on television or movies today, even. I was very privileged. I was a lucky guy. I auditioned for him, I guess, about 18 months ago for the first time. I had made a list of my favorite actors and actresses. And they include Kevin Kline, Glenn Close, Gandolfini. I even threw in Jet Li, you know, as far as action, et cetera, et cetera. And the name kept going, all those names kept leading back to one fella, Harold Guskin. He's been, you know, the boss instructor or the advice go-to guy for all of these people and many, 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 many more. And the kind of approach that he takes is very different than what you see on television. On television, everything registers as if there was no sound. You show surprise by going, You can't see it, but you just know what I just did, right? You throw your fingers up and you make that expression like you're totally shocked to be hearing anything for the first time. Tom, how come my microphone doesn't work? Huh? And, you know, and how do you show sadness? You turn your face down and that's it. You stick your lower lip out and you sulk and maybe you take your fists and rub them against your eyes like you're crying or whatever. That is traditional television acting.
I could be an actress.
You could be. You'd be the actress. I've always wanted to direct.
Okay.
And the approach that we take is to dispense with all of that. There's no exclamation points. There's no question marks. No dot, 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 comma, you know? There's no questions at the ends of the sentence. You suspend all of that and let the script do the reading itself. And you know me, I'm hyper driven. I'm on warp speed. I have a surgically implanted disco beat that's 180 beats a minute. So settling that down was the big issue for me. Obviously, I don't employ any of it during this show. But, you know, as opposed to what we've come to see is acting on television. If you turn the sound off, people should be able to understand what you're doing just from the visual. But if you over-exaggerate, then it becomes what's called result-oriented theater. And I hate it when I know somebody is trying to play me, whether it's coming from a movie screen or a politician.
Well, what did it feel like for someone like you to have to get quiet and feel something?
It didn't feel out of ordinary. It's just I'm used to revolving in a circle of people where if you don't be the squeaky wheel, you get no grease. If you know, when we talk in here in meetings, creative meetings, or in the band rehearsal, or anything that goes on behind the scenes here, there are so many people with so much ambition that if you slow down and you pause even for a second, boom, somebody else is going to lean in and break your train of thought. So we learn here in this end of the business that you just start talking and you don't stop. And when you finally get to a place where you can take a pause, see how hard it is to stay quiet? Anyways, Dave wants to talk about actors up here. 866-313-3733. Is the current batch on the natch, or should we scratch them off the list? Who's better then or now? Dave, talk to me. You're on.
Diamond Dave, I think now De Niro, Pesci, people like that, especially when it comes to the gangster movies, they're a lot better than the George Raths, the Jimmy Cagneys, all of those people. I really think they're a lot better.
Why do you think they're a lot
more believable?
Oh, okay. And you feel that it's a little bit more, the depiction of reality is more entertaining to you than otherwise?
Right. Like in Casino, if you watch that movie, which I've watched repeatedly, it's very believable. Pesci is like this guy that has no morals whatsoever. And like in The Sopranos, which you were in, that's a great show. It's addictive. I love it, and I loved you in it.
So you prefer the reality element as opposed to constructing something fantastical. You like real.
Yes, real, because as you and I both know, life is hard enough in reality, and it's not. You don't really have to add a lot of glamour to it to make it look that way. And if that's what you want to watch and that's what you choose to watch, which is something I like to do, then it's going to be something that entertains you.
I think that reality, especially reality backgrounds, are infinitely changing. That you don't have to construct so much because in real life, especially if you're portraying real life, there's infinite options. If you're trying to do something that got done before, wherefore art thou? Hey, where's the skull? Where's my sword? And it becomes very predictable. I'm going to agree with you. I think the older guys had a whole lot of Broadway theater in them. You're talking about James Cagney and these kinds of guys.
Right.
And that was a lot of, it's like a Broadway play, which is very unrealistic sounding, usually. It's a concoction. It's a creation specifically for the stage. I agree with you. Don't go away. 866-313-37... David Lee Roth and I Ain't Acting. Yo, baby!
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Siete sintonizzati direttamente con David Lee Roth. Che ne dici di un po' di fuoco e spaventapasseri? You're tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about some fire, Scarecrow?
Omówione najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
Roth Radio. Bringing to you the ancient secrets of the radio. Roth Radio, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, hello Cleveland, Pittsburgh, I heard the word, congratulations, West Palm Beach. Don't make me laugh. My sister is making me laugh. Turn my voice up there, Hutch. 866-313-3733. Lisa.
D. David.
How do you like doing radio at 6 in the morning?
You know, I think I could get used to this.
Listen to
I'm not sure I'll be asked back, but...
That's what I said last week. Perhaps the ancient sound of the desert floor, my friend. That's our ancient desert guitar player, Brian Young, in the background. Go ahead, turn him up. Let's hear it. From across the still jungle night, a fierce cry. You really got me, baby. 866-313-3733. I was riffing. It's the
you
Red Bull.
You do that well.
The Red Bull kicks in. DavidLeeRoth.com, the DavidLeeRothShow.com. Somebody from Berlin, Germany just emailed us. Stefan, he says, comedy is the blues for people who can't sing. He's got a point. Have you noticed how many comedians look like rock stars when they're doing their show?
That's very astute.
It's very astute. I'm just smiling. I'm not making a joke out of it.
It would have to be a European that comes up with that.
No, he's absolutely right. When you watch the quote-unquote the current greats, you know, working the stage, you watch a comedy channel, whatever, they move and groove kind of like jazz musicians. It's in a kind of a time mm-hmm. and a tempo that's completely not regular. Mm-hmm. It's more like working a band, especially when you see somebody like Robin Williams. Very, very rock and roll. Comedy is the blues for people who can't sing. All right. We're talking about the actors today. We're getting the phones are actually lit up here. We're going through who's the genius and who's better than used to be, whatever. Anybody here a John Wayne fan, actually? Is this so long ago that any of us actually care?
Oh, I think there's plenty of people that still care. Not my cup of tea.
Not my generation. You know, he was early on, you know, sands of Iwo Jima, but I'm not even sure where Iwo Jima is.
Right.
No, realistically, you know, if you're talking about war movies, for me, it's, you know, The Deer Hunter, Platoon, this mm-hmm. kind of a thing. John Wayne is always cowboy movies. When was the last time you even watched a cowboy movie?
Never.
Ever. Oh, man. Nothing? Even something like Silverado or The Quick and the Dead, you know, nothing like that?
I'm a Western fanatic, man. I love Western movies.
What
man.
Was the Mel Brooks movie?
Dueling
Blazing Saddles.
That's Saddles. My kind of Western.
Oh. That's a take on Western. Animal, yeah. You really are a country Western fan?
Yes, I am.
What is it about cowboy shows that you like so much?
I guess it's the guns, man. The quick draw. That's what I like. And
did you ever practice quick draw?
Of course.
With a real gun?
Well, when I was young, I always told my mother I wanted a two-gun holster and a Winchester, and she would get it for me every Christmas. Bigger I got, the bigger my cap pistol got. You know.
Till finally you were robbing the pizza man on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like a long time ago, though.
That's a developmental curve to be admired.
Yeah. But I didn't like John Wayne because the way he wore his gun. You know, like, how could you be a fast draw with your gun all the way around your hip? Now, the way Clint Eastwood wore his, now, that's a good way to wear it. So
it's like the bass player. If he's holding it up way up high, it's square and white.
Right.
Animal, would you watch Brokeback Mountain?
Of course not.
Not your kind of Western?
No, it's not.
How
that's
do you think
one,
they wear their guns?
I think they wear their guns close together, I would imagine.
Okay. Julia Roberts. She a great actress. She's on the list here. She's listed as number 5. Julia, okay, this is 2005's favorite movie stars from the Harris Poll. And she's number 5. This is the first woman listed in the whole list. In fact, until you get down to number 10, she's the only woman listed in the top favorite movie stars of 2005. Julia Roberts, go.
Incredibly commercial, easy on the eyes, very user-friendly.
Kind of like baby food.
Well, that sounds mildly pejorative. I like some of her movies. Consummate actress, I'm not so convinced.
How would we even know if she's a consummate actress? What would be one of her consummate films?
Well, I can't think of one. I think some of her films have been, again, it's mass consumption.
Yeah,
I agree. Her films cater to the mass audience, and they do very well that way.
If I go on a date with one more girl under the age of 32 who says that Pretty Woman is her favorite movie of all time, I'm going to vomit like a comet. No, I'm not kidding. That always comes out. Whenever you read the Playboy centerfold favorite films, Pretty Woman. Any stripper over at Scores, Pretty Woman. Any. What is the content there that is so appealing? It's like, wait a minute, when the Titanic came out, there was a transference there. It went from Pretty Woman to, oh, I love Titanic. What do you think the attraction is there?
Oh, I think it's the story, the Cinderella story for some women, where, you know, she was a stripper and she fell in love with her Prince Charming, who was wealthy and attractive. And
think that ever happens?
I'm sure it does.
For more than a weekend.
Does it last? No.
For more than a weekend?
Maybe.
Can you think of one time when that kind of
that's happened to me? No.
All right, let's go for the calls here. Jesse, he says it's better today. Jesse, Roth Radio, go ahead, hold forth.
What's up, Don and Dave?
You, brother, what's cooking?
Not much, man. Just enjoying the sunshine down here in Florida.
Okay, and do you think the actors are better today or worse?
Absolutely. You know why? Because it goes back to previous discussion, man. Censorship. They're not censored. They can do what they want on screen. So, of course they're better than that.
Okay, so they're better today.
The actors of yesteryear.
You know what? I think you might have a point there.
Oh,
of course, man. I mean, you can say the F word, the S word. I mean, whatever you want. You can kill people. You can smash them with hammers. I mean,
you're a victim of ratings.
They could do that back in the day.
But like Lisa said, you're a victim of ratings, and the ratings can absolutely slow down your ticket sales. So isn't that a form of censorship?
Yeah, in a way, but I mean, you know, people are going to go want to see what they want to see, you know, regardless of censorship or not, or, you know, the way the ticket sales goes is how it's going to go.
Okay. Yeah, but according to ratings, some movies don't make it to your town. Wide release.
Yeah, but I mean, you can still go see them when they come out. On DVD or video.
That's a very good point, because the movies that I don't see on the big screen now, I virtually learn them.
Either that or you can watch them free-flowing on the net, you know?
So sure do. Like, what happens is, like, when I go out on the road, when we would be touring and stuff, you have, cable, what's the name of it? Spectravision, yeah. In the hotels. And any movie that you want to watch, you can virtually learn it. There are some movies that I've watched 7, 8, 9 times just because there's a scene or a girl in the movie or something specific that, you can find that now where you didn't used to have it. I'm wondering if the actors are better, if the direction and the writing isn't better.
I think it's an art that's evolving. I mean, if you think about it, somebody said the Cagneys weren't as good as the people today, but think where they came from. Before them was the silent movie, where it was emoting because there was no sound. Then the Cagneys, they must have seemed amazing. And then after him was the Jimmy Deans, right?
Sure.
James Dean? Amazing. And then after that came the Pacinos, the De Niros.
So
like
you're...
that. It's evolving.
So there's been a consistent evolution. You don't see that it's stalled anywhere.
No.
I think it's probably stalled. No, you're absolutely right. In terms of mass market, in terms of the big time movies, the blockbusters, they've always stayed Lassie and Disney World and whatnot. But now you have even more opportunity for the Quentin Tarantinos and all the, you know, all the downtown, the independents and so forth. So I'm going to agree with Jesse. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Talk to me about Johnny Depp, Darren. Go for 14 there, Hutch. You're on.
Hello?
It's D-Row. Go live.
What's up? Now, let me ask you, Rob, who else could do Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Who else?
Besides Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's a number of fellas who could have done that better. Who?
No way.
Oh, yeah. Who is the fella? He was just in the war movie. He plays a sniper. He was also in Garden State. He's kind of a crazy character. Sarsgaard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his name. Stephen Sarsgaard.
I don't know if he was available then.
Spoken like a true agent. But just in terms of that kind of a skill and that otherworldliness, right off the top of my head, I would say him. And if it wasn't him, how about Bill Murray?
I don't know. How many drugs has Bill Murray done?
Oh, plenty. And I think you obviously weren't around.
Now
when
that's sense memory
right,
acting.
I have I'm a little biased. I grew up next to Johnny Depp. When he was young, he was always, every chick loved him. He was in a band down here in Florida. The kids, the girls adored him, but he did the right thing. He didn't become a celebutard and stay in Hollywood. He went left that place.
He went to probably one of the most critical, most competitive areas. He moved to Europe. He lives in France. You know what the attitude is there. Here, I'm going to show you. I'm going to put my nose up, and I'm going to get a nosebleed, baby. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. I'm turning French.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
David Lee Roth, 一个高速度的电台。David Lee Roth, High Speed Radio, Radio Roth.
Ladies' choice. Fellas to the side of the rink, please. That sounded good, Brian. Go ahead, take that one more time. That's B. Young live in the studio. That's amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing. You know, I have heard your show on the internet a couple of times because I live out in the frontier, California.
Sure.
I had no idea he was here live. I thought this was a CD the whole time.
No, he's live. I call it track slapping. We played tracks from all the music that you hear in the background is my music. It's stuff that I actually own. All the loops, all the songs, all the tricks. It was mine. I was the one who said Natasha Bedingfield. I started playing her stuff and using her loops and
right.
so forth. And I think they heard it on the air and said, hey, he's Natasha friendly. But as opposed to, you know, having a whole band and do it, whatever, this is new. This is a different kind of idea. Listen, he's going to play the lead solo. Go ahead and turn the track up there one time. Baby. Makes me think of Julia Roberts. Brian Young on the guitar, Roth Radio.
Not only a prodigious guitarist, but he has great taste in books, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He bought me all kinds of... He bought me Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs.
He sure did.
Klosterman, which is the new Bible here.
Right.
We should actually get Chuck to come on the...
I was going to say that. He'd be a great person to interview.
We should get Chuck up here. He's one of the super editors over at Spin Magazine. He's a contributor over at Esquire Magazine.
Esquire, yep.
I gave you that book, Sex, Drugs,
yes,
and Cocoa
Yes, you did,
Puffs.
And I read it.
We're going to have to get him on the show. Maybe we can get him on this week while you're here with
us. I would love that. I'm a fan.
My sister, Lisa Roth. I'm David Lee Roth. You're 866-313-3733, davidleeroth.com. We're not acting, but some of these people we're talking about are. Julia Roberts.
Well, maybe we are acting and we're consummate actors.
Maybe. I just don't know it. That makes it pure, right?
Like Paris Hilton.
I like the way you think. I don't think that Julia Roberts is a great actress. I think she represents. I think she looks like a certain contingency of people. And who's the gal that was married to Lance Armstrong? Or the singer who was his girlfriend?
Sheryl Crow.
Same kind of thing. Good singer, but not sensational. However, she represents an entire voter block of people who look like her, dress like her, that kind of age group. So it becomes more acceptable. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I might disagree a tiny bit. I think she's a great musician. I do. I like her a lot.
Julia Roberts? Hey, this is the Roth Show. Don't get smart. Roth Radio, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston. Hello, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. I heard about it. Congratulations, baby. West Palm Beach. We had Natasha Bedingfield on earlier. She would be a good actress, huh?
She was beautiful. I am blown away by that.
She had real substance there.
She had real substance, and she walked in here. Everything was a flurry and had to jump in and perform, and she did an amazing job.
That's half the battle of performance, is getting to the wedding on time,
right,
dressed appropriately, with your lines memorized, et cetera, et cetera. That's why I say most of these gals who are just kind of kicking off like she is, the low hands, the Britneys and whatever, they don't have that kind of substance.
They could not come in here and do that. I was sitting literally 10 inches from her.
Did you grope her like Isaac Mizrahi? Did you?
I'm the one that pulled the button off the jacket.
Because I would do an Isaac. That's why they keep me over here.
Yeah.
I don't think Julia Roberts is that spectacular an actress, and I've got people here on the line who want to talk about, I don't know, go from the top there, Hutch. What do you think of actors, Edward? Roth Radio, you're on.
Hello.
Go ahead, Edward. It's D-Row.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Actually, I met you a long time ago in 1984. I was doing security for you guys in New Jersey, so it's kind of good to hear you back on radio.
And do I owe you money?
well, no, but I think we might be related. Nah, I don't like it.
Go ahead.
All right. Anyway, yeah, we're talking about the actors and stuff, and I'll tell you what. Most of the actors today, like you were just talking about Julia Roberts, they play the same freaking role over and over and over again. Harrison Ford is still Han Solo, and he's still always going to be Indiana Jones in every role that he gets. Now, the ones that you don't like, I don't think your sister likes Johnny Depp. You got to give him credit. He was the Edward Scissorhand. He was the 21 Jump Street dude. He was the pirate guy. He plays different roles, so he's acting like the old-timers did.
Okay,
the
then
old-timers used to do a lot of stuff where they were, you know, the roles that they have today are basically the same roles that they had 30, 40 years ago.
Okay, so what you're reflecting on, I think, is that there are two approaches to acting that are really popular today. The one that you prefer is what, the Indians, the old American Indians had a name for it, a shape changer. Okay, somebody like De Niro is a shape changer. Any role that he does, he becomes that character, and it bears very little, if any, resemblance to the role that came before it. The taxi driver is very different than Jake LaMotta in Raging Bull, which is very different than The Godfather, which is a completely different character than in Goodfellas, even though it's still the mob, okay? And then we have the actors who I call it behaving. You get on camera, and you behave. Who was that?
Sylvester Stallone.
There you go, Sylvester Stallone.
You raise your animal.
Okay, here's Sylvester as a cop. Ready?
Animal.
Okay, now here's Sylvester as a boxer. Ready? See if you can tell the difference.
Animal.
But I love the role. It's like the Rolling
Stones. Love the role.
I love the Rolling Stones. Every song, they have basically three or four songs they've been playing for 30, 40 years. But I love the song. AC/DC. Play the same song over and over again. Love the song. Here's my $400. Can I get a front row ticket? Stallone.
You do.
I want to see the next movie, right? Who else does that? Who else just behaves like that these days? You got to think through it here because, for example, Sean Penn is a shape changer. Very different from Jeff Spicoli to the guy at the UN to the guy, in the Woody Allen movie when he plays, the second best guitar player on earth, Sweet Low Down. He's a shape changer. So I'm curious.
And there's a situation with Sean where his public persona is starting to usurp his acting.
How do you mean?
You hear a lot of stories now about his anger, about this, his anger, about that, his intolerance for lightheartedness about just about anything.
And Jude Law. He's a little upset about us making fun of Jude Law. You remember? You got up at the award show. Somebody said...
That's what I'm referring to.
Chris Rock got up and said something about, who's this guy, Jude Law? He's in every movie I see, and you got to agree with him. And then Sean got up and was very upset, put the arm on him and said, hey, you can't make fun of him. He's a great actor. Well, that's specifically why we make fun of him. I'm not going to make fun of anybody who can't defend himself.
Yeah, and I think Sean should be able to say what he wants, but it's a tricky thing. It's a tricky thing when you start your public persona kind of outshines or influences someone's opinion.
Once you actually start to exist, then it detracts from the acting, right?
Which would suck.
And this is the reason I'm never going to act. I only truly exist. No matter how many pirate clothes I put on, no matter how many combat uniforms or smoking sidearms I come into the next Chuck Norris movie with a mustache, a faintly Slavic accent. Yes, Mr. Norris. Hey, that's Dave. Dressed like a pirate. I wonder why he's doing that accent.
It's like that movie,
right?
That movie Pay It Forward.
Say it again.
That movie Pay It Forward, when John Bon Jovi walked in, it just wrecked Elson. Boing, it brought me into reality. I'm like, what's John Bon Jovi doing in these people's house?
What's John Bon Jovi doing in a submarine? No, he exists. Yeah. He's a musician. He actually exists. Lisa's got that look like, huh?
I was trying to remember what else he's been in.
Well, that's the point. He's been in it. You just didn't remember.
He's been in a number of movies.
Oh, yeah. But he actually exists in real life, at least the way our culture depicts it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what uniform you put him in, no matter what airplane he jumps out of or what casino he shoots up, they say, hey, there's John. There's Bond. Steve, talk to me. Roth Radio, live. You're on.
Yo, David.
Yo.
Finally, somebody decent to listen to in the morning.
Thanks, Steve.
Listen, I've been trying to get on for a couple of weeks now. Before I give you my favorite actor of all time these days, I want to get back to a subject you covered last week about pulling the plug on somebody. Well, how about pulling the plug on somebody that's still alive, like Howard Stern? Can you pull the plug on this guy? This guy is the most untalented person in the world, and the only reason why this guy, people listen to him, if he doesn't incorporate women and sex to his show, nobody would listen.
I got that same exact review the very first time I put an album from the L.A. Times here. I think there's a balance for everything here. I read everything from Batman to Schopenhauer, though I do find Batman a little dark. I love a good fart joke. And I like the smart stuff, too, but not as much as the fart joke. So Howard dwells somewhere nearly in between, and it's just the fact that we're discussing him now means he's leading the way in some vague kind of way.
He does what he does very well.
Boom.
He does what he does very well. It's like we were talking about Harrison. He does the same role, but he's very successful at it.
Yep, and it's a familiar thing. It's almost comforting to go and find that you got 2 hours with something familiar and comforting. How frequently do you say that in real life?
I listen.
Okay, Steve, who's your favorite actor? What's the best guy today that puts the old guys to shame? Go ahead.
Robert De Niro, without a doubt, is the most versatile actor today.
I'll agree with that.
I live back in the days of the Goodfellas. Joe Pesci, he portrayed Tommy DeSimone. I knew Tommy DeSimone by my fireworks. I mean, lived in my neighborhood, okay? He portrayed him unbelievably. Another actor, very versatile. You cannot tell. I mean, James Gandolfini, perfect for the role that he does in Sopranos. You can't find anybody better. But can you put him in a comedic role? No. Have you seen King of Comedy with Robert De Niro? How do you put a man in that role and play it the way he did and then put him back in Goodfellas, Casino, Raging Bull, the fifth best movie of all time? Joe Pesci, the same thing. Serious role, then you put him in Home Alone.
Okay, slow down for 1 second. I have a question for you then. Do you think that being East Coast has a big balance on that? Do you think that those fellas coming from this part of the country has had a serious impact in there being those kind of great actors? And I agree with you that they are.
Yes, I do. I really do believe that. I also believe that the roles that they're given today, I mean, you look at it yesterday and today, the way films were made, directors, the scripts that they were writing, the censorships. Fighting roles years ago didn't even look believable compared to the way they look today. But I do think that the East Coast has a lot to do with it.
I think the East Coast has everything to do with it, and that's why they gave us this business that we do here. Roth Radio. Lisa, my sister, Lisa Roth, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
It was my complete pleasure. Thank you.
This is your first time on radio.
This is my first time.
You think you want to do it again tomorrow?
My cherry has been popped.
Boom! But at least you got the box it came in. Will you join us again for breakfast tomorrow?
I would love to.
Animal, will you join me
yes,
and my sister?
I sure will.
Be Young, will you join us, baby?
Of course, Dave.
Yeah.
Roth Radio, live from New York. You bet it's the East Coast, talking to Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, and old world that is within reach. I'm running, baby. Don't try and stop me.
Yeah. Come on.
Got about that.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.